Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 21st of April, the synchronous 111th day of 2025, affording us 254 days in our journey to 2026. We have 1.5 weeks left of National Poetry Month, and this Thursday, April 24th, the Bangor Public Library will be hosting the 23rd annual Poets Speak, with poet Kathleen Ellis reprising her role as MC of the event. The first National Poetry Month was launched in April 1996 by the Academy of American Poets, who of course felt that poetry matters, and that we should have a special occasion to celebrate poets' integral role in our culture. In those 29 years since the beginning, Poetry Month has become the largest literary celebration in the world, marking poetry's important place in our lives. Why April? Some say April is the perfect time for transition. From the white of winter to the green of summer, we have a sometimes messy but always different and challenging span known in New England as mud season. Our fifth season of the year, regenerative and full of promise. Several lines from New England poet E.E. Cummings's paean, Injust, signal our innate curiosity about our region's reliably transitory weather. In just spring, when the world is mud luscious, the little lame balloon man whistles far and wee. This weekend, the Macro Whitewater Downriver Point Series continues with the 51st annual 7 Mile Kiwanis Piscataquis River Race from Guilford to Dover Foxcroft, Maine. Meanwhile, this past week, spring cleaning has been at times heavily punctuating my other activities. New out-of-state corporate owners recently bought the storage locker facility in Brewer, where vast quantities of my mother's belongings have been warehoused, and the new owners immediately doubled the monthly rent, so I've been periodically loading my 6-foot by 12-foot flatbed trailer with stuff and running it up the road to a less expensive facility in Orono, to someday soon sort through it and liquidate, to assuage my frustration with all the things my mother just had to hold on to. I think of my mother the gardener and her various fruit trees, apple, plum, pear, peach, and cherry, the latter of which poet Yi Li writes, I love cherries, the fruit, juice, jam, blossoms, prints on a summer dress, in a Black Forest cake, the street named Cherry, in Denver, Colorado, where we lived. For 3 years, when I was 5, with a cherry tree in the park nearby. Its fruits small, sour, and bright with life. There, my mom stopped beating me, after learning that children could call the police. But I was more scared of being taken away when I was only 5. Heavenward this week, our planet continues to pass through the varying intensity of the Lyrid meteor stream composed of particles from the comet Thacher. Astronomers are predicting peak celestial showers from late evening today until after midnight tomorrow, with 10 to 15 meteors per hour being viewable in the night sky, and occasional bursts of dozens of meteors within a quarter hour. The Lyrid meteors radiate in the northern sky from near the bright star Vega in the constellation Lyra the Harp. And in the southeast sky, during tomorrow's early morning hours, our waning crescent moon will appear to pass through the dim arrowhead-shaped constellation Capricornus the Sea Goat. The following morning, the planets Venus and Saturn will be keeping our moon company. Today in 1211, the Santiago de Compostela Cathedral was consecrated. Today in 1509, the eldest surviving son of Henry VII assumed the British throne as Henry VIII upon the death of his father. Today in 1789, John Adams was sworn in as the first United States Vice President, 9 days before Washington took the oath as President. Today in 1940, the first $64 question, take it or leave it, was aired on CBS Radio. Today in 1956, Elvis Presley's first hit record, Heartbreak Hotel, became a million seller and hence number one on the Billboard chart. Today in 1963, the Beatles met the Rolling Stones for the first time. Today in 1989, the sports fantasy film Field of Dreams had its world premiere in Dubuque, Iowa. Today in Mayfair, London, England, the Duchess and Duke of York welcomed their first child, Elizabeth Alexandra Mary, into the world. Along with the arrival of their second daughter, Margaret, the family lived a quiet life until their relative Edward, who had become king, abdicated to marry Wallace Simpson, making Elizabeth's father King George VI and his firstborn daughter heir to the throne. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us Elizabeth and her sister were raised by their Scots governess, Miss Marion Crawford, and during World War II, their parents sent them to the countryside, away from the bombing, while the king and queen decided to stay in London to show solidarity with the city's people. Nonetheless, teenaged Elizabeth insisted on doing her part for the war effort and became a military driver. When the war ended in 1945, she and Margaret made a small incognito excursion into the victory celebration. Our biographer speculates that this was probably the closest Elizabeth would ever be to her people because in 1952, her father died and Elizabeth became queen. As a small child, Elizabeth was asked what she wanted to be when she grew up, and the polite little girl replied, "I should like to be a horse." Today is also the birthday in 1729 of the German-born Empress of Russia, Catherine the Great, in 1816 of English novelist Charlotte Bronte, in 1838 of Scottish naturalist John Muir, in 1864 of German sociologist economist and historian Max Weber, in 1887 of American actress Lillian Walker, 1915 of Mexican-born American Oscar-winning actor Anthony Quinn, in 1932 of American comedian Elaine May, in 1935 of American actor Charles Grodin, and of American jazz pianist Pat Riblow, in 1941 of American jazz, funk, and rock saxophonist Pee Wee Ellis, in 1942 of American gospel and soul singer Bobby McClure, in 1945 of British actress, singer, and dancer Diana Darvey, in 1946 of American blues musician Doug McLeod, in 1947 of American singer Iggy Pop, and of British rock guitarist John Wider, in 1948 of American country rock singer-songwriter Paul Davis, in 1949 of American actress and singer Patti LuPone, in 1951 of American rock singer-songwriter and keyboardist Nikki Barclay, and of American boxer and actor Tony Danza, in 1958 of American actress Andie MacDowell, and in 1959 of British rock singer-songwriter and guitarist Robert Smith. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Westella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this fifth full week of spring and the 17th week of 2025.